everyone. My name's Melody, and this is You Know I, or just Melody Rachel on YouTube. This is episode 39 of my podcast. Since this is the last episode of the year, I thought I would do a solo YouTube video and sort of talk you through why I started the podcast, part of my process, what I've learnt. This is episode 39, and there's 52 weeks in a year. So I've been doing this for a year, but part of my process was learning how to like work with my disordered mind. When I say that, I mean like scattered, or I don't want to use that like diagnosis that everyone's using these days, but yeah, it's all over the show. But essentially I wanted to start this podcast because I'm curious. And I love instigating conversations. I love talking to people and learning about people's worldviews. I'm also a creative. I was in the theater world. The reason I switched to the podcast is I felt like alienated in the theater world. I felt the theater used to be a place where we came together and we worked. Well, it was about the theater. But what I noticed in 2020 was it became more about the politics than the theatre or the work or the creativity. And I guess the arts has always been very left-wing or quote-unquote progressive, but I felt that it was becoming insular. When I say insular, I mean there was an orthodoxy that you had to follow or a ideological worldview, which I didn't feel like I had. I didn't think J.K. Rowling was a TERF. I didn't think Jordan Peterson was some homophobe. I didn't think there was anything wrong with voting conservative. I didn't think that women were as disadvantaged as everyone around me thought. I didn't think that I deserved certain opportunities over others because I'm gay. I don't think we should look at people in terms of their group identity. I think it's our individuality that makes us who we are. And I wasn't opposed to capitalism. These are just a few things of the many that perhaps caused me to feel alienated or polarized in the arts. I had also felt like my peers in the arts treated me differently if I disagreed with them. And I understand we're tribalistic human beings, but I don't think it's our political beliefs that bind us together. I think it's our common humanity. And I think I felt like we'd sort of lost that. I started to look to other figures that really promoted the values that I believe in, like humanism, that we're all more alike than we are differently, our individuality, a free market, just liberal values that I feel like we're diminishing in the arts. And I came across Barry Weiss in a podcast, and she really inspired me to want to pursue the truth amongst all this, ideological worldviews and sort of try question some of these ideas. And after about a year of listening to her, I mean, there's a few other podcasts I listen to too, but she's the one that stuck out for me the most. Again, her name's Barry Weiss. She does a podcast called Honestly, and she also runs an online journal called The Free Press. That's in America. There's another online journal called Quillette that I'm pretty inspired by, and an arts organization called Fair in the Arts. So I've actually been able to connect with some of the Fair in the Arts members through doing the podcast. And yeah, they just elevate these liberal values. So as a creative, I want to connect with people. I want to have conversation. I want to create things. And I just felt like the podcasting world was, I was able to do that. I'm able to network and make connections with people that I wouldn't otherwise been able to if I didn't have a podcast. I feel insecure about creating the podcast because, well, everyone's trying to be a creator, right? Everyone's putting themselves online and wanting to influence people, or there seems to be like there's a little bit of shame attached to doing this for me. And podcasting is like it's an oversaturated market, right? Like everyone's doing it. And everyone who is doing a podcast is either a comedian, So they've already got like a platform. Or yeah, they're someone like Joe Rogan, you know? He's already come, or they've already come from like film and TV. So why join, or why try and why be a part of an oversaturated market? I don't know. Honestly, I love, like I said, I love talking to people. I love conversation. And I've since been able to, interview people about liberal values and sort of what binds us together as humans, and have some really interesting conversations around that. I also, part of the podcast is me exploring Christianity. So I've talked about the fundamentalism of the arts, or the sort of orthodoxy or ideological worldview in the arts. I grew up in Christianity, where being gay is not ideal and you're discriminated against for it, which kind of veered me off course when I was younger. So I grew up in a Christian household, and I was like, well, homosexuality is a sin, so you just got to not be gay, and then you can come to God. But I managed to find Jesus myself. I mean, I was going to church, but I actually don't really call myself a Christian. I just say I know Jesus. I know they're sort of the same thing. Being a Christian is having Christ in you, having a relationship with Jesus, having Christ in you. But I feel like a lot of Christians don't actually reflect the Bible or Jesus, and they seem to be having not quite the spiritual experience that I'm having. Not trying to say I'm any better, but I guess through the podcast, I want to, talk to Christians, talk to gay Christians, and figure out, you know, how are they doing Jesus? Like, how are they reconciling their sexuality with their faith? That's been a big topic that I've talked about on the podcast. And I suppose where I'm at now is, I mean, this sounds weird, but I question, okay, well, yeah, I know you can be gay and Christian, because I'm gay, I sleep with women, and, you know, I've got a quote-unquote relationship with Jesus, which means I feel like I have God's spirit dwelling within me. Now I'm sort of like, okay, well, is God even real? I don't know. Yeah, it's a weird journey, but what better platform to explore all that than on a podcast? Another thing that's talked about a lot on the podcast is the transgender sort of gender identity conversation, which seems to be like the only thing anyone's interested in our culture. I think I got really interested in it because of my upbringing. So I was always a tomboy when I grew up, you know, boys' clothes. I hated my mom dressing me up. I played with dinosaurs in the mud with the boys. I had always felt like less of a woman because I'm not that feminine. Or maybe I am now. I just wasn't back then. And yeah, I had some interesting experiences in high school where I was just spoken to in a way that made me feel unworthy of being a woman. And then to sort of grow up and realize, oh, it's not actually femininity that makes me a woman. It's my femaleness. But I think in our culture now, it's sort of shifted to, if you're not feminine, then you might not be a woman, which I think is an idea that we should talk about. And again, if I go back to the arts and the politics and not being able to relate to people around me, it felt like it was an idea you couldn't talk about. Otherwise, you would be accused of transphobia. And I'm just like, nah, like, I just want to know what the truth is here. Like, what is the right way? Or is there a few different right ways? And what are they? So I think it's, yeah, like I said, it's important to just keep having these conversations. So theater, politics, Jesus, and the gender stuff. Those are the three main things I talk about on the podcast. I guess I should talk a little bit about, part of my process. If you're watching this on YouTube, you might notice the lighting is a little bit different. It's because I've been procrastinating about doing this for a whole month, and then I've been trying to do this on and off for about a week. So yeah, procrastination is a real thing that I struggle with. I've worked out what it is though, like why do I procrastinate? One of the main reasons I procrastinate is, in my head, I'm better than I am in reality. So when I go to do, so in my head, I'm like confident and this is really easy. And then when I go to do it, I'm not so confident. It's a bit awkward. I don't know what I'm doing. So I've set the standard. I've set my standard really high. And yeah, trying to meet that standard is just causing me to not want to do it. But what a great thing to work that out. I suppose I should talk about how I got started with the podcast. Like, how do you start a podcast, right? I signed up for radio school. It was through TAFE. If you're in Australia, you'll know what that means. It was like $2,000 for a year, so it wasn't that expensive. There was like 5 different classes. Essentially, through the course, I learned like all this stuff. I learned how to edit. I got access to the Adobe suite. I met a bunch of cool people. It was very overwhelming. The whole course, I found, just for my brain. Like I was saying before, I'm a bit disorderly and I struggle to order things. The course was overwhelming, so I failed the whole course, but I thought, you know, I've learned some things, so I'm just going to start a podcast. So what I did was I just bought a Shure microphone. Now, at first I bought the Yeti, but I didn't like it. Like, I didn't like the way it sounded. It had like an echo. Yeah, it was like echoey. So I spent $200. I bought the Yeti mic, didn't like the Yeti mic, bought 2 Shure microphones. And I just found a bunch of my friends that were doing really interesting stuff. And I was like, hey, can I interview you for a podcast? So the first episode I did was with Wilfred Roach. He's written a book called Black, Gay and Underage. So I read the book and yeah, just came up with some questions to ask him. My second person was Eva. She'd created an app. Then I talked to my friend Emily about Christianity. Then I think I talked to a few people about Christianity, actually, and politics. Like I said before, I'd met some people through FAIR, the arts organization. So I was able to interview a guy called Jamie. He was cool. He's had a similar experience to mine in the arts. So we had a good chat. After episode 12, I decided to start doing video recording, and putting it up on YouTube. So originally when I started, I thought, yeah, I'm going to video, but nah, it was just too hard basket. So the first 12 episodes were audio only. And then after I'd sort of learned how to interview, I'd learned how to edit on Adobe Audition and sort of put the podcast up through a platform called Buzzsprout to get it on Spotify. After I'd sort of learned all that, I was like, okay, it's time to do video. So I use a video recording platform called Riverside. And my first recording was with a guy called Chung. He had discovered me through another podcast. And then, yeah, Gabrielle and Jamie were through the organization called FAIR. And then my first big guest was Holly Lawford-Smith. She'd written a book called Gender Critical Feminism. And I was like totally nervous to interview her. She's a philosopher and she's pretty outspoken about criticizing gender ideology. So criticizing this idea of, can a man just become a woman if they say they're one? And yeah, just really, really critiquing this whole idea of gender and where did gender come from. And I'm really interested in that stuff. So I luckily got her through a friend. She agreed to come on the podcast. And that was the first big episode I'd done. It got like 8,000 views on YouTube, which the rest of my videos were getting like 100. And that was like, I wasn't sure what people were going to think or like, yeah, I was definitely nervous to put it up, but it was fine. Like, yeah, it was a really good conversation and yeah, it got me a lot of subscribers, on YouTube, which was cool. Started the channel with like 100 subscribers. Now I'm only at 600, but I've been doing that for 6 months. So the podcast for a whole year and then YouTube 6 months. And then, yeah, my other big episodes were with Marcus Dibb. He talked about why he's a transsexual, not transgender. And then my most recent big episode was with Sal Grover. She is being taken to court because she created a female-only app and there are men trying to get on the app. I tried to push back on a few of her viewpoints. But yeah, my conversation with her was probably another one that I was afraid to put out there. But yeah, that's kind of how I got started. So just learning as I go. So having the friends and just being like, yep, I'll interview you. So yeah, the best way to get started is literally just buy a microphone. And people use, a lot of early podcasters use GarageBand. I just found the interface of Adobe Audition better. And since I got it free through TAFE, I just used that. And then yeah, just found a bunch of my mates that were doing interesting things and just interviewed them. And then you sort of qualify yourself. I just qualify myself and learn as I go. Like even this lighting setup, I've only just learned. This is the first time I'm even filming on a Canon camera. I usually just use my iPhone 14. But yeah, if I can say the most invaluable thing I've learned is the learning, just learning as I go, learning how to interview, learning how to reach out to guests. Most of my guests I just find on Instagram or Twitter or through other people that I've interviewed. Once you've had a few big guests on, you can sort of put it in the pitch email and just be like, hey, I've interviewed this person. Would you like to come and, you know, have a conversation with me? This is what I want to talk to you about. Da 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 da. My hit rate's probably about, it's probably about 80% respond to me. And then about 80% of those, we get an interview. Some people are flaky, but I think the more people you reach out to, the more people you've got a chance to sort of get on the show. And it's also, yeah, it's helpful to sort of, what I did with guests is just put them into tiers. So number one was just like people I know that I can reach out to. And then number two was like authors and writers that have a bit of a bigger platform. And then once I'd done a lot of people in tier two, moved to tier three, which is like even bigger, people that have a bigger platform. So just slowly kind of going up the ranks, I guess, because I'm not going to like reach out to some big, I don't know, Barry Weiss. She's got like a million followers on Twitter. I'm not going to just reach out to her if I'm a nobody. You know, you sort of want to build the platform. And in saying that, I would still say after doing this for a year, I'm still pretty much a nobody. But what I've learned, like obviously I'm doing this because I want people to get value out of it. I make theater so people can enjoy the show or just get some sort of meaning out of it. I'm doing this so people can find value from it as well. Like hopefully the conversations I have about being gay and Christian or the conversations I have about gender, I get people reaching out to me saying they felt moved by the episode. Like that's why I want to do it. But since I haven't gotten that far in the year that I've been doing it, it's honestly like the learning, what I've learned from me, like even now, it's hard to articulate myself. It's hard to talk to the camera and it's hard to be expressive and be exciting, but it's, you're getting better as you go. And I just don't think, you'll ever be ready or anyone will ever be ready to ever do anything unless you just do it. So that's probably the biggest advice I could give is just to do it if you want to do it. Yeah, I don't know. I don't want to make this too long, but what I want to do 2024 is grow the channel, get some bigger guests on, have some more exciting conversations. I'm having a conversation with someone in a studio, which is going to be really cool. And also what I want to do for the YouTube channel is do more videos like this. I don't know why, I'm just sort of going with it. The good thing about YouTube, most of my listeners are on YouTube, by the way. They're not, I get like 20 or 30 people listen to the podcast on Spotify. YouTube's cool for engagement and like clipping up the video and then putting it on Instagram and getting people to like comment and then responding to the comments and then just not trying to win people over, but maybe. I don't know. YouTube's good because people can comment on it and you can respond. So you can sort of engage that way. So yeah, I guess I'll leave it there. But this year I'm going to try. Another thing I want to say about consistency is like you get these big like motivated podcasters, right? And they're like, yeah, podcast every week. And like I try to do that, but like I said before, with my brain being all over the place, it's difficult. There's 52 weeks in a year. I've done 39 episodes. That means I've missed weeks. I've tried to get the podcast out consistently every Monday. But sometimes I get overwhelmed and it doesn't go out till Tuesday or Wednesday or even Friday. Or even sometimes it gets to Friday and I'm like, oh, well, it's too late to release the episode. I'll just wait and release it next week. And then two other weeks have gone by. And yeah, so I still experience all that overwhelm and procrastination and, hesitancy to put an episode out. But it's better to do a podcast and put episodes out inconsistently than not do it at all. So, yeah. But maybe 2024 I'll try consistently every week. So I think I'll end it there. But this year, 2024, yeah, I'm just going to keep going. I'm going to try like build my focus and discipline and attention so I can do this more consistently, but I'm just going to keep going and see what happens. So thank you for tuning in. Please leave a comment. Feedback is welcome. Subscribe, do all the things. Thank you. I'll see you soon.